That's the sound of the Cork Pops Orchestra playing the tune Sailing By, which, as you know, is also the Seascapes theme tune. They were performing for the crowds at the recent European Maritime Days in Cork Harbour, which you heard about on this programme lately. I mentioned at the time that there were several large vessels open to the public on the quayside for the event, and one of those was a ship run by the European Fisheries Control Agency. The agency was set up to ensure that the EU's common fisheries policy is applied properly.
Back out onto the stern.
And this ship puts inspectors on board vessels fishing in EU waters. Appropriately enough, given that the ship was visiting Cork, I was shown around by the head of the European Fisheries Control Agency, a woman from Castletown Bear, Dr. Susan Steele.
We're on the Ocean Guardian. Lorna, I'm going to take you up to the bridge first of all. So this is one of the three ships that we have. We have the Ocean Guardian, the Ocean Protector and the Ocean Sentinel. Come up with me and I'll show you the deck. When I was three, I think I rebelled against my parents and I was on the side of a hill in Castletown Bear above Irees in a very, very beautiful place for anyone who's been down there. And I decided when I was three I wanted to work with the sea. And I learnt, I think I was very lucky, I learnt to read and write when I was around that age as well. And my first thing was learning all the Latin names of all the fish and the seaweed and running aquariums. And when I was 12, I got my first job working in the local fish farm, cleaning tanks, and working with the herring Christmases in the fishermen's co-op with some amazing people. And I have every single minute of my life, Lorna, I've worked with the sea. And if I'm not in the office, which I am always at sea. I leave on a Friday evening, I go sailing, I swim in the sea like yourself, as much as I humanly can. I only eat fish and seaweed, I don't eat meat. So I'm completely, for me, it really is my life. And I really believe that the sustainability, that we all have a responsibility for it. Did I ever dream that I'd end up running the European Fisheries Control Agency? Absolutely not. I count myself as the most, I almost want to cry saying it, I count myself as one of the most privileged people. I am so lucky. I had a dream and I'm getting to actually act on it. I work with amazing people. I've seen amazing things in the coastline. And I'm the European Maritime Day. It's for me, the fact that we're having it in Cork, I must admit it is bringing it in a round circle. And I must admit I am very privileged. And I hope that the same as people who helped me, I hope I can pay it back and help other people to follow the dream of the sea and the oceans and help all of us in Europe to look after it for the future, because it's a very heavy responsibility. It weighs on my shoulders. Yeah. So we're on the forward of the ship. So the ship is 62 metres long and we're at the area here. When we go to do an inspection, before we go to do it, we will use a remote piloted aviation system, which is a drone. And we will send them from here and they will check. Sometimes it's amazing, you'll see vessels just discarding into the water. Sometimes you might see gear or things being changed, but also they're checking the safety of inspectors, because being a fisheries inspector, it's a really dangerous profession, but not always recognised as that. So we want to make sure that they're very, very safe as well, and that's why we use them.
So where we are now, is this the drone launching pad?
Drone launching pad. It's also, if somebody had to be medevaced off, you can winch them from here as well.
Okay.
And then if I just bring you into the deck, I'll just show you into the bridge. We're very, very lucky in Europe because none of us are unlimited resources. So we work with two other European agencies, the European Maritime Safety Agency, EMSA, and Frontex.
Given Frontex was investigated for human rights breaches, is it appropriate for the agency to have that close relationship?
So if Frontex is running an aircraft in the Mediterranean, the footage will be streamed from that aircraft to us in EFCA and to the member states. And it's very, very beneficial where they're running aircraft and where we can see it. We work with them so we're not reinventing the wheel. And we're also not wasting European taxpayers' money. As for criticisms, that will go through its own due process, the same as anything with fishing. Yeah.
Very cool.
quickly.
So this is the bridge?
This is the bridge. Welcome on board.
Yeah.
So it's a very modern ship. They're designed for standing off in oil platforms and things, so they have what's called a DP system. So they can stay in the same position need to. It's called an azimuth dynamic positioning.
Yeah.
So it's very, very well designed. There's great visibility. If we look out the window, you can see we have a rib and a daughter craft. So when we're going to do an inspection, we will launch either the daughter craft or the fast rescue craft or rib, and they will then take the inspectors on board to do the inspection. The ship has a gym because everyone has to stay very fit because climbing boarding ladders in the middle of the Atlantic is a tough job. And it also has a sauna, which is sometimes when they're in the Mediterranean, they laugh at it. But when they're doing an inspection up by the Arctic Circle, they're very grateful for it.
Yes.
After, yeah. And inspections can take a long time. So you can be 5 or 6 hours doing the inspection and it can be quite cold by the time you get back.
Right, yeah. Okay. So you've been out on the ship?
Not only have I been out on our ships, but I've also taken part in inspections with a lot of the member states. Yeah.
Right. So you do joint patrols. The European Fisheries Control Agency does joint patrols with the member states.
Yes, we will do swordfish in the Mediterranean. We'll do the turbot closing time in the Black Sea. We'll look at a fishery in the Baltic. We might look at pelagics in Northwest Waters. So it's with all of the countries that are fishing around that coastline.
Okay, yeah. And it's as much a deterrent as...
I suppose I'm very optimistic and I've been working for many years. I genuinely believe that illegal fishing is a race to the bottom for the people. And there's a small number of people who illegally fish and they can destroy everything for the vast majority of really good legal fishermen. And for most people, when we do inspections, we're welcomed. Come and look. We've nothing to hide. In an ideal world, we would never find anybody doing anything illegal because people would understand that they are damaging everything for themselves in the future. Short-term gains for a very long-term loss. In the cases where people are carrying out illegal fishing, I would hope that they would see that it's not about being caught or about a deterrent, it's about a future for their children, for their grandchildren, because there's huge work gone on over the years to work out quotas and stocks, and to work out the fisheries laws in order to protect what's there for the future. And that is what should be the deterrent, not an inspector.
Dr. Susan Steele on the Ocean Guardian, a ship operated by the European Fisheries Control Agency, of which she is the head. As you know, if you've listened to the programme over the past few weeks, Janny Lanagoin has been travelling around the coast talking to people about particular books they'd recommend with a sea theme or set in a marine location. This week, she's on one of the shorter coastlines in the country, County Meath. There she met with a man who's a poet as well as being the local studies librarian with County Meath Libraries. His name is Tom French.
But I find myself mostly just amazed. Just the sound. I mean, all the different sounds, like you can come down and just listen to it. And that's what I do. I just come down with the dog. And she does her thing. And we walk down as far as Ben Head and all the way back. And it just restores you. And it's just listening to these sounds, these utterly non-human sounds, all the moods of the sea and all the sounds.
Meath's coastline may not be the longest or most dramatic, but two of its seaside towns, Laytown and Bettystown, feature in Neil Jordan's first book, a collection of short stories.
The title story, Night in Tunisia, it's incredible. I mean, the sea is not a character in it, really. It's as present as anything else. He's staying in one of the corrugated chalets, as he calls them, down along here, so there's something like this, you know, impermanent, like, you know, you feel like you can all get washed away any minute.
Yeah.
And then there's the power of the music as well, like.
And I would like to play Soir en Tunis, A Night in Tunisia.
He has Charlie Parker's Night in Tunisia in his mind. He's writing this thing, and it's about the relationship between himself and his father is discovering who he is as a human being in the world and all of this. There's just this very intense relationship between himself and his father. He won't give his father the satisfaction of knowing that he has the music in him. He won't do it. He'll play a bum note just to annoy him. But there's a point in the whole thing where he just lets go and the music happens. Like, it's almost like he's just completely submerged at a certain point. In my personal life, I live in the kind of, I mean, I do, like most people try to live in the present tense. But in my professional, working in the library, I spend a lot of my time in the past. But when you're dealing with Jordan's fiction, it's neither one nor the other, like, you know, it's a whole other timescape, like, you know. There's a beautiful thing where he describes the sea. He says, the sea had the movement of cloth, but the texture of glass. And that paragraph is very beautiful. Do you know that point in the book where you go, oh, if I could just relax here now?
Yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. I can just settle in.
The sea had the movement of cloth, but the texture of glass. It flowed and undulated, but shone hard and bright. He thought of cloth and glass and how to mix them. A cloth made of glass fibre or a million woven mirrors. He saw that the light of twilight was repeated or reversed at early morning.
But even as you're reading, I'm looking out the window here in the library at glass. Like, it is literally twinkling like glass in the sun.
Yes.
It is exactly as he describes it. And it's crazy to me as somebody who the first beach I ever met was this beach. Yeah. And I'm looking at these little waves, and to me they were towers of water when I was a kid, because I hadn't met the Atlantic yet, you know. I thought this was the sea, you know?
This is it, like, yeah. So I mean, there are people who would disparage this coast who are more familiar with the West, but yeah. I have the ultimate time for this coast. I mean, everything happens here, like, all human life is here. Mm-hmm. And you can get the sea in all of its moods, like.
Where Tom and I are in the library part of the Eastmead Civic Centre, we can see all that human life he mentions play out on the full expanse of Bettystown Beach. That's because the building meets the sea with 36 tall rectangular windows on its face. In fact, we never sit down to face each other during our chat. We both just stand, looking out, mesmerised. Eventually, I ask him if he has a favourite story from Neil Jordan's collection. He's reluctant to pick one.
But I do find myself going back to Night in Tunisia repeatedly, just, you know, the way you know it's something good, because even though the house is full of books, when I was coming to do this, I knew exactly where to go for that. You know, I knew, go into the kitchen, open the door, it's in there, in that little stash there. I have these stashes all over the place. Shrine sometimes, and sometimes stashes. This is a stash. And I knew it was in behind the door. It's just something that, you know, if you want to put your hand to, you don't want to have to go looking for it. Like, sometimes you're just checking, you know, is it as good as I remember it? How well it's worn as well. You read it now, knowing this landscape and this seascape, and it's just as good as it ever was. I get this sense that Neil Jordan had read his T.S. Eliot as well. There's this beautiful thing in The Four Quartets where he says, the river is within us, the sea is all around us. I mean, you're not really talking about water at that stage, are you?
No.
The poet Tom French on the book Night in Tunisia by Neil Jordan. He was speaking with Janny Lanagoyne in the new library in Bettystown, County Meath. Some items from the Marine and Maritime news pages this week. There are two stories from the Mediterranean, and they probably couldn't be more different. European leaders are heading to the south of France and have been asked to pack their swimming togs. That's because the southern French city of Nice is playing host to this year's UN Ocean Conference. And to mark World Ocean Day on Sunday, the French President Emmanuel Macron wants his guests to take a dip in the Med. We've already spoken about the European Ocean Pact on this programme,
It aims to take a holistic approach to the marine environment and ocean economy. And yesterday it was formally adopted and welcomed by EU President Ursula von der Leyen. However, the welcome is not unconditional. The EU Commissioner Kostas Kadas, who's a biologist and who you also heard from on Seascapes recently, has said that even in marine protected areas, any restrictions on fishing should be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. Some environmental NGOs have condemned this approach. Across on the other side of the Mediterranean, from the south of France, a ship named Maudlin was still heading for Palestine earlier this evening. Maudlin is named after Gaza's first fisherwoman who ran her father's fishing business after he was injured in a 2009 Israeli attack. This ship is part of a so-called Freedom Flotilla heading to bring aid to Gaza. Progress hasn't been smooth, and we're aware that there could be further obstacles over the next few hours. Last month, one of its vessels preparing to leave for Gaza was attacked by drones in international waters off Malta. And yesterday, the Maudlin diverted to rescue four refugees from a sinking rib who, it said, were in danger of being forcibly taken to Libya. Swedish environmental activist Greta Thunberg is one of 12 people on board. Among critics of the flotilla has been US Senator Lindsey Graham, who wrote on X last week, "Hope Greta and her friends can swim." This is beyond a joke because it's just 15 years since the Mavi Marmara incident. This was a ship carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza when it was attacked. 10 people died as a result.
It's a lovely venue.
Recently, I had the privilege of opening an exhibition in Uachtaráid, County Galway, featuring three artists. Their work focuses on islands, and while there, I took the opportunity to make a short recording with them.
So, Ger O'Rourke, Galway-based artist, do you have a particular interest?
Yeah, the stone walls are my theme for this exhibition. They dip and they turn and they hide in the landscape. I've always been mesmerised by them. The one that stands out for me is Inishir. There's so many little fields on Inishir. It's just a patchwork of stone fields, and I just looking on it, it's an art piece for me. I just think it's incredibly beautiful.
Hilary Morley, you're going to talk about a ferry.
So the ferry for me is what is the beginning of the trip to the island. And to me, the most frequent ferry journey that I've taken is the one between Baltimore and Sherkin. Just stepping onto that boat, seeing the friendly faces and the guy that's selling the tickets telling me to mind my ticket because I'll need it for the return is kind of extra special about islands.
So this is the Baltimore-Sherkin ferry?
Yeah, so it's typically red and white colour, and I suppose as an artist, those are the kind of colours that complement the blue of the sea. So I work in collage as well as drawing and paint, but I particularly like to bring maybe recycled pieces of paper and odd pieces of maybe text that I've found and paint them and put them together to create two-dimensional images. So I'm kind of touching a little bit on an environmental concern about kind of recycling what I find. And I suppose whether we like it or not, the sea is home to a lot of items that are not disintegrating. So other works of mine in the exhibition reflect that, looking at sea plastics and that sort of thing. So collage allows me to use some of those materials really effectively in my work.
You don't find it challenging to paint the sea?
Oh, yeah. Do you know, it's like you go to paint and you have an idea and you try to create that idea, and suddenly what your brain is thinking, it doesn't come out in the canvas, so it can be extremely frustrating. And sea is, because I suppose it's a tangible thing, isn't it? A changing continent, but that's the beauty of it, and trying to capture that, it's hard, yeah.
It changes every second, but generally the colours of blue are deeper as you are nearer to it and they're slightly lighter further away, so you can get a sense of great distance in work if you just maybe adhere to that particular way of doing colour.
So Sasha, you're going to read one of your poems.
Yeah, this poem is more of a sailing poem, and it's sailing to an island. At least I want to sail to that island at sunrise, the dinghy to answer slightest movement on the helm. I want to sheet the sails with the wind 2 points free, a bubbling rush along the hull. I want to find a sheltered inlet, heave the boat up over weed-muffled rock, clear of the sea's swell. This smooth mound, a vast worn tooth that shimmers wings and whiteness. There, Arctic terns, 4, 6, 8, whiter than the bare rock, with nests in every hollow, where air reeks of fish and droppings. As they glide tight overhead, I want one to bank, break, land close by my feet, and all around I want to watch this ruffling sea lean against a smooth, wide sky.
Three artists at a recent exhibition of their work in Uachtaráid Courthouse: Sasha Hutchinson, Ger O'Rourke and Hilary Morley. There are two undersea stories in the Maritime News this week. Researchers in Dublin are working on a way to use undersea cables for maritime surveillance. They are from Trinity and they're trying to detect dark vessels, that is, those operating without active transponders. The plan is to use the existing fibre optic infrastructure and develop it as a vast network of underwater sensors. It's called the Sea Scan Project, and it's at the so-called seed phase of the Research Ireland Defence Innovation Challenge. Also underwater, Ireland has initiated a new project to monitor underwater noise from offshore wind farms. It's called the Irish Marine Acoustics Platform. The idea is to deploy hydrophones along the Irish coastline to track sound levels. This data will help measure the balance between renewable energy development and marine biodiversity conservation. And another offshore wind farm related story. This week saw publication of two guides for offshore renewable energy installations. One is about safe navigation, and the other relates to search and rescue and emergency response around offshore wind farms. The guides were published by the Department of Transport and the Irish Coast Guard, with input from the Marine Survey Office as well as from the Commissioners of Irish Lights. And still on wind farms, there's some cause for reassessing the development of offshore renewable energy. A recent report by the International Council for the Exploration of the Sea says there's clear and growing evidence that offshore wind installations, both fixed and floating, will have measurable negative impacts on the fishing industry and marine ecology. The Irish Department of Environment, Climate and Communications says that it supports the need for data to ensure successful coexistence. While last month, the Danish government said it was scaling back offshore wind energy targets to make sure that important fishing grounds are not closed to commercial fishing, particularly those for catching sole. That's my lot for this week. I leave you with the sound of Cork Pops Orchestra and Sailing By. Talk to you again next Friday at 10:30 p.m.